Uh-huh. Liquor license?
A what?
A liquor license.
Traveling at the speed of thought.
Liquor license?
131 proof, bud, straight up. I'm fucking wasted.
It's a fucking drunk.
Liquor license?
Disappointed in me out here, Andy.
Liquor license.
Hey, yo, kids!
What's up?
Remember when I used to be dope?
Yeah. All right, guys, so this is another liquor license show. It's been, what, maybe 3-4 months since you heard one? Scott and myself have been drinking, so we decided to record one and see how levels are. My man Scott, say something.
I didn't know you were going to record it right now.
Well, we're recording right now.
All right.
Uncle Luke must have the headphones. He is gone.
Uncle Luke is in Atlanta, Georgia, and we miss him dearly.
Yeah.
I really wish he was back here because, you know, he's a fun guy.
So says you.
I miss him and everything. I hope he had a great time in Atlanta. Do you think he ever listens to these liquor licenses?
No, he's never once listened to them.
That's too bad.
No, he never has. That's all right, though.
I mean, whatever.
All right, so... I think we're going to change up the normal, hey, we're going to talk about us drinking and stuff like this.
I want a candle.
What do you want me to light that?
Yeah, I want
it. All right, Dick, wait here. Come here.
It smells good, man. Just don't touch that butane lighter. That thing's dangerous. Things won't shut off, man.
So this is a new style of liquor license. So instead of us talking about getting drunk, and then getting drunk. We're already drunk, and we're going to talk. Indeed?
I really agree about it.
Agree, yes or no? Or?
Yeah, man. Grab me one of these, man.
Yeah, I'm going to test levels. So, our conversation was about the galaxy and just the enormity of it.
The unknown about it.
Well, yeah.
Not just the enormity, it's just the mystery about it. This isn't just me, radio listeners. This is... Polish Brandon really likes his conspiracy, too. He might not lead on like that, but he does. End of story.
Okay, good. That should be fine.
All right, thanks. I'm out, man. Where's my check?
If it's not, like, go fuck yourself. What do you want? You want a Miller Lite? You sure me? You want a glass of water?
Maybe both.
All right. I can do that. And
keep talking, though, boxer shorts.
Check this, bud. You one?
What about a cold one, not one this... Oh, Christ, look at that. That a bartender.
I'll get you a cold one, though, dog.
No, it's fine. Don't worry.
Because you're being a fucking bitch about it.
Just don't worry about it, bud.
So, okay, explain the galaxy to me. I want to know... Okay, my thought is... My entire life, I'm like, okay, there's a solar system. My entire life, meaning until I'm like 14. But my thought is, there's a solar system. There's the sun. There's the moon around our planet. There's a possibility of other stuff. But then, like, lately, it's not even stoner shit, because I don't even smoke weed anymore. But it's like, well, yeah, but there's probably a million fucking galaxies, solar systems.
All right. Well, yeah.
That echo what we have.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it, though. But I think I mentioned this on Liquor License 6 or whatever, or maybe LGR, I don't know. If you think about the relativity of the Earth, think about the age of the Earth in relation to the rest of the galaxy. This is what I'm saying. In relation to the rest of the galaxy and galaxies beyond, well, space beyond, the unknown. Earth as a quote-unquote heavenly body is in an infancy stage. So I'm saying that there are other stars, other planets, other, you know, heavenly bodies out there that are...
She's a heavenly body, son.
No, I'm saying that are millions of years, you know, whatever you would say in space, older than us. So, to think that we were created and, you know, we exist in solitary is, I think, is a little absurd, because I think there are several other things to consider when you're talking about our universe, let alone outside the universe. You're totally, you're shitting your pants back there.
I'm walking in here.
You should. I wish I could. I don't live here, listeners, and I don't have basketball shorts to put on.
You want a pair?
No, I don't want your farty basketball shorts. But anyway.
FBSs?
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, the Earth is in its infancy stage, in relation to the rest of universe and universal bodies, I would say, because there are things that have existed, stars that have existed eons longer than we have. So we're just now into our, I don't know what you would say. We're catching our momentum or whatever.
We're like a toddler. We're a Earth.
What did you say earlier? Yeah, we're a toddler. We're a toddler planet.
We're a toddler planet.
But you were saying earlier about what if maybe different universe or different planets had different creators or different ways of creation. No, I think
that okay.
It's a very interesting point, because we have never heard that before.
If all right.
As far as I know.
This is like the most, like, I'm baked and I'm not idea, but if, I mean, our solar system galaxy exists, and then there's a million more solar systems in an infinite time frame. This is very much me listening to Rogan and just getting his influence, but the idea of an infinite amount of space that, like, you don't know where it ends, begins, like, we can't even scientifically think about it. Then there's totally a chance that, like, on a different galaxy, there's somebody doing a podcast like me and you, but they're purple slugs, and they're blah, 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 but they're doing the exact same thing we're doing, but, like, it's a different thing altogether, but, like, that's their sign of intelligence or whatnot.
But you're saying that their communication may be just as far advanced as ours, or even further, and that's
how can't it be?
I think that probably, well, if you look at it in a stage of growth, I would think that ours would be still on the infancy or, you know, like toddler stage or whatever. I think there's got to be a lot higher means of communications on other planets or
preteen.
Other stars.
Let's say the Earth is preteen.
Then you got a fucking hairy uncle over there that's just talking about sex out there that we can't even see. Or somebody is just...
Hairy uncle has very hairy hands.
Or there's like a Howard Stern type, like, radio broadcast that's like way out there that we can't even get a hold of because it's that far out. Because we don't know where the wall is. We don't know where the space wall is. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows where that is.
Agreed.
And that's pretty fucked up.
We're losing, like, the liquor license. It's just becoming, like, straight on.
We're not losing liquor license. I feel like every time we do this, we're all just, everybody's just drinking. This water is still pretty cold.
I told you, but, ladies and gentlemen, so we did a little bit of bowling, a Baker style, which neither one of us have ever done. And a Baker style is you only bowl one game for five people, and the first person bowls the first and sixth frame, the third person bowls the third and eighth, okay, etc. And so it's like you're only bowling one game as a team. So we were just doing a little bit of practice. Rob Bass couldn't make it. If you're a LJR listener, obviously every one of you are. You know who Rob Bass is. That's what Scott called him. He's like, hey, man, can you come? He's like,
Clippers game's on, man. Can't do it.
He's like, I don't know, man. I'm not feeling good, man. So we're hanging out, and then we went to watch the end of the Clippers game, which they won.
Clippers won. Thank heavens. The Donald Sterling thing. Right now, if you're chronographing, well, if you're like time-stamping
this.
Yeah, you
know what? We won't talk about this in LGR, so we should talk about
it. If you're time-stamping this is the whole Donald Sterling meltdown.
How big of a deal is it? Like, is it as big as a Jackie Robinson? Is it as big as a, Warren Moon or a black quarterback in the NFL?
All right, it's not as big as Jackie Robinson. It's not as big as Jackie Robinson, but the Warren Moon...
I'm saying the
way that everything is being treated, it's as big as, like, Well, maybe not near as big as the Warren Moon thing. It's as big as in his own right, because of the fact that I think the public kind of likes this kind of shit.
Did you watch Did you watch or just hear about any of the Adam Silver stuff? Adam Silver is the commissioner.
He's the new commissioner of basketball. And
did you watch any of it or just hear about it?
No, I just heard about it.
Okay. If you watch it, he seems very... I am going to lay down the death penalty on him, and he's not
He's banned from basketball.
He's banned from basketball, and he's very stringent upon it. And
because he wants a brand new leaf. He wants a new page. Hey,
he should be. Okay, he should be. Mark Cuban made a great point, like, well, maybe some people don't want... I mean, the way this whole thing came about with the owner of the Clippers was that a girlfriend of his, who was 50 years his, you know, minor, came about and said, oh, I got these messages. And she's a black female. And he says all this bad stuff. But he never says the N-word, but he just says a lot of negative things about black people and minorities, isn't that? And
all the while, he's happily, quote-unquote, happily married. He's still married.
Yeah. He's still married, but this is mistress, which
this is
just
one of his girlfriends. One of his girlfriends.
All of it is very odd, and all of it's very weird. Nobody really questions her. I mean, I saw a TMZ thing where she had, like, a fucking welder's mask on.
She looks kind of fucked.
Yeah, she's kind of, yeah, she's definitely fucked. She's, but there's a part of her where, like, you had a couple drinks, you're kind of like, yeah, fuck, she's fucking hot.
No.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude, she's kind of got a nice body, doggy.
She looks, well, yeah, but she looks stretched. Like, I don't understand. I don't, it's just an old guy thing, maybe.
Yeah, okay. It's
maybe great. When we're 80, we're like, yeah, I want some stretched face.
Stretched face! But,
Maybe.
Anyways, all that happened, and there, I definitely agree with everything everyone's doing. He is the oldest and longest term owner of a basketball team.
He's been 40 years, 30 plus or 40 years or whatever.
Well, it's my age plus one, so 33 years. Because that's when they left Buffalo.
And I'm surprised that this hasn't... Because
it was the Buffalo... Listeners, it was the Buffalo Braves. They left Buffalo in 1980, went to San Diego, became the Clippers, left in 81, went to LA to be the Clippers.
But I'm... All right. I'm still surprised that it's been this long since Donald Sterling's been in the news for any sort of fucking racism or big... anything.
I've always heard shit about
him.
He's
a shithead.
Yeah, he seems like a shithead, but how can... Okay.
I would say half the people that learned about this in the news had no idea even who the owner was.
I always knew, but here's the thing, dude. It's like, if you just think of sports owners... Okay, Mark Cuban. He's a big name. But name another big name owner of a team. Ralph Wilson, he just died.
Jerry Jones!
There you go. You're telling me there's not skeletons in Jerry Jones' closet.
Oh, no, he's killed people, man.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
Okay, like, maybe not. Jerry, Jerry, if you kill people, don't kill me.
Here, bud, here's my thing. Who owns the Vancouver Canucks? Who owns the Milwaukee Bucks? You don't know. You don't know. They could be anybody, but they have money.
Yeah.
Money makes things disappear.
Right.
All
right. Of course it does.
And a lot of them probably are 81-year-old bigots who also date the same person that they're being... Yeah, the bigotry towards.
Money makes things disappear. Let's talk about Roswell again.
Okay, hang on. We'll get back to it. But my whole thought is, and I don't want to
just fucking with
you. Oh, sports thing.
This is a bit thing.
If you honestly could think of owners in sports, you probably could do 10 total.
I don't even think I could do that.
All right, who owns the Chiefs?
Oh. No, I can't do it right now.
Okay. Who owns the Rams?
Lamar Hunt owns the Chiefs.
Okay.
The Hunt family.
Okay.
Sorry.
The Lakers.
I knew that.
The Lakers.
The Buss family.
Okay. The Clippers.
Sterling family.
All right. The Knicks.
Nah.
James Dolan. The Nets.
Nah.
It's that Russian guy who has all the money.
And Jay-Z owns 1%, right?
Not anymore. Because he did the Rock. This is his first year of the Rock Nation sports, where he's like an agent now.
Yeah. I don't know.
He's saying the Rams control. Okay.
But regardless, I couldn't name 10.
A lot of these owners, I think, are not going to vote to get this guy gone because then their personal shit's going to be looked into. So the owner of the Arizona Cardinals, maybe he's a very sweet guy, or maybe he has like a bunch of shit going on.
So are you saying it's like the baseball kind of ownership where there's a circle and they can vote to get things done?
Okay, that's what they've
like
done.
Like an inner circle.
That's why Marge shot... She wasn't out for a while, and that's why Frank McCourt wasn't out for a while. Frank McCourt, the owner of the Dodgers,
yeah.
Everybody wanted him gone, but he couldn't get gone until they had these votes, and a lot of people wouldn't vote for him.
It's got to be a majority, or it's going to be 9 out of 10 or some bullshit like that, or what is it going to be?
In the NBA, it's three fourths. So I would say it's 22 owners of professional basketball teams have to say we want him gone.
And now, you don't think they're going to do it, huh?
I hope they do.
I hope they do.
But,
also,
but you're telling me that that's 7-8 people who he can't kind of like be like, hey, just say no, and I'll give you $1 million. How can the guy is worth a ton of money.
All right, so that being said, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens.
That's all I'm saying.
Because this guy, he's got a $2.5 million fine coming from, like Silver says, $2.5 million.
That's getting a fucking speeding ticket.
Yeah. All right, listeners, if you're not sure on the magnitude of Donald Sterling, actually who he is, he owns much of the west side of Los Angeles, be that Beverly Hills, Westwood, Santa Monica. He is a property owner. His wife runs most of those fucking things. And
ex-wife.
Nope, not ex-wife. They're happily married, bud. That's what I was getting to earlier.
Okay.
They're happily married. He's got girlfriends, but she is in it to win it because Donald Sterling has the cash to make her real estate endeavors fly. So she's fine. Baby girl's at home. I pass this fucking house every day on my way to work on Sunset and Beverly.
Yeah.
Amazing mansion. Baby girl's at home or whatever doing her real estate endeavors while Donald's out being the more interesting Donald. Just girlfriends, Clipper games, right. Not allowing black people to come, being an asshole. That's the thing.
All right, now, my last point on this is that Ron Artest, again, Meta World Peace, he made a comment, and he's a fucking goof. Okay, that's the way to describe him.
But who cares? He's a great goof.
He's a great goof, but at the same time, he says he needs to get help. And the guys on Sports Nation
say, who are you talking about, Sterling? He says Sterling needs to get help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, he's a racist, and, like, he needs to get help. Like he looks at it like an alcoholic, like an anti-Semite, I guess, that he needs to get help. And I'm like, I'm very interested in it. Like, I'm not.
I didn't hear that. That's good.
I'm not a racist. As much as like, listen to show and we say, Neger, and like all this kind of stuff. Or
it's more like just we comedy.
We do as a goof.
If you've heard of any of these episodes. All right,
but again, if there's a black guy here on the show, I'm not going to say it.
How many there's been several. It's fine.
There's been zero, but okay.
Are you kidding me?
What, on liquor license?
Oh, not a liquor license.
No, on LGR.
LGR, yeah.
There's been zero black guys. So
Chris, but
he doesn't count. He's a pussy. So he's a nihilist. Anyways, he doesn't listen, so it's fine. My final thought on it is...
Thought?
He is what he is. He is, if he's that kind of a racist, if he owns, okay, dude, if I own a building and,
several buildings.
All right, this is going to get into something weird, but let's go with it.
No, I know what you're going to say, and
If I own the building we're sitting in right now.
And you don't want any black people or anybody.
No, fuck black people. I'm saying if I have 6 black tenants, and everyone destroy the place, they don't pay, I have to evict them. And then I put in 6 Korean tenants, and they're very nice, they pay everything. How does my mind not shift to that? I'm just saying, no, I don't, there's no fact behind it. I'm just saying, how, and I imagine, listen, I knew black dudes who had an apartment who treated like shit. I knew black dudes who had a great apartment who treated like gold. And they're nice about it. You know what I mean? It's vice versa. But let's say in the lower area tenements where they call him a slumlord, he's not a slumlord if he's selling a shitty apartment. I mean, like, that's, you're buying it.
Thing is, though, he doesn't buy or sell properties in the. Maybe, I could be completely wrong, though. As far as I know, he's got areas that the means can be met.
Yeah, but then he shouldn't be labeled a slumlord.
Because I don't think he is.
That's
what they're fucking telling.
Every article is saying he's a slumlord, which I just think is a shitty.
That's bad. I mean, one of my...
I mean, fuck the guy, man. I'm not trying to defend him.
No, don't, you're not. I understand. But one of my good co-workers, Maddie. Hey, Maddie.
Hey, Maddie.
He lives in a Sterling building. And he was like, he's like, I get it, but there are blacks, Asians, Hispanics, every race, Persians that live in his building that he lives in Beverly Hills, but I don't know anything outside of that. He's lived in two buildings.
I'm trying to think. Like, I know so many white people who don't pay their bills. But at the same time, I can imagine, like, I've seen...
Do you think Donald Sterling's got a cynical view of everything in general?
Yeah.
Since, what, fucking 1865?
An 81-year-old white Jew, he has a very clear view of what he wants in his residencies. Not on his basketball court, but in his residencies.
Because he's a fucking investor, and I think that's what makes him... a shittier human being is because he doesn't look at full spectrum because he's only got his eye on the prize. Regardless of who he's got in his building, he's got people that handle that. He's got a staff. I'm down the street from the Sterling Plaza. The Sterling Plaza. These people are fucking like...
Is that by the Montage?
It is. It's right south of the Montage. It's the next building. You walk by.
Next to what?
Montage! But I'm saying... this fucking guy has a very, very poor view of what's going on in the world. If that's the case, if he's saying, well, this is the way I want it to be. This is my outlook. I don't want any Hispanics. I don't want any blacks, any Persians in here. I want strictly white Jews or white, right-bred Americans. Like, are you fucking kidding me? In 2014, he should go fly a kite.
I am not taking his side. My thought is like, what if he said, yeah, it was awful. What if he said, you know, we have to go based on credit, and
that's the way everything is based on credit.
No matter what your credo, Jews were approved, all the Koreans were approved, all the blacks and Mexicans were not approved, and they'd say, well, why did they get approved? And you say, well, it's based on credit. Like, well, that's wrong. Blah, blah. I mean,
no. If you've got, that's a different thing. Say the pool of fucking African Americans, the pool of Mexicans. Okay. A white's credit was better than the blacks. All the whites are in. Fine. Or vice versa.
I'm not saying whites. I'm saying Jew, Korean, like, because whites.
Whatever.
Are fucked. Whites,
yeah,
are fucked.
I'm saying whatever.
I'm asking you.
It's okay, a paper trail. Everybody, every place I've applied to, they've had to run my credit.
I'm not defending this guy. I think he's a scumbag.
Of course you're not.
I'm glad he's going to leave.
I'm surprised it's been this long.
It's been way too long. He needs to get out. I mean, how can
he's
you have...
He's a fucking asshole. Sorry.
Some of the stuff coming out is saying that, like, he'd bring women into the locker room to see his black, beautiful bodies that he had in his locker room. Like, I really feel like he felt he was a plantation owner. Like, he owned these guys.
Oh, that's interesting.
And
Jesus Christ!
He felt that he was. You know, these were his house ends.
Oh my God!
Or even his field ends.
I'm telling you right now, dude.
His mentality was that if you look at what Elgin Baylor said in his book, was that what he told Elgin Baylor was when Elgin Baylor was the general manager was like, I'd rather have a white Southern coach who can get control of this team, meaning
Sterling said that to Elgin Baylor.
Yeah,
I hadn't seen. Now I had no idea. Now I'm learning.
Remember, I listen to a lot more sports talk and bullshit TV shows. You know, I understand. You're better off that you don't. But also, I put a lot of things in my own head. And with this whole thing,
that just adds fuel to the fire.
Next door to my apartment is another apartment, and there's always these, shopping carts, and then there's really piece of shit car, and there's trash, and all this, and I'm like, oh man, like that sucks, and like I just go throw it over there, and then there's a disturbance, and the cops had to come. Every one of those things had to do with a black person. Now,
because you can witness it, because you can look out your window,
I can see it, and
that's the only reason.
Now, does that mean that across the street that a white person isn't doing the same thing?
Well, it's not. In my building, there's always white people causing curmudgeons.
Hey, I agree. It's one of those things that like. And the smartest...
We're in Los Angeles.
The smartest black people that have conversations, you know, Magic Johnson, that one professor, Cornell Wallace, these guys, they always say, like, you know, there's certain groups of people who bring the rest down. And I think that's the same with every race, you know? It is.
Well...
And mine is, like, Asians, because they're always, like... pretty Jesus, I guess.
Sucks.
I mean,
that
it
sucks that you had to use the neighbor's example.
But wait, am I wrong though?
No, there are some shopping carts out there, a lot, and I do see the. I do see.
That's
the jalopy.
All I'm saying
I
is
call
like,
it a jalopy.
I, look, I didn't. Okay, here's my thing. I didn't grow up around black people. Okay, I didn't have a problem. I wanted to be black my entire life. I wanted.
And that's weird. I don't. Grow up around him, but I did.
I
think that's weird. In Iowa,
you grew up on
a
fucking farm. You didn't grow. You grew up around two black people.
No, there were families.
Oh, shit.
There were families. My dad worked with several.
Okay. Several, like, you can count them on your fucking hands.
But I'm still... I can count my friends' families on two hands.
I'm saying,
so
like,
I'm saying...
Your high school, like,
town of 200,
you weren't the only white guy in a black
school. A town of 200, a school of 600, there's a couple dozen black people. Like, that's not bad. Like, I was mixed. I'm saying you grew up around more African-Americans than you think you did.
I did. But at the same
time... why would you listen to fucking Death Row Records when you're 12?
There's a big difference. I liked the music.
Or you wanted to be...
I liked the culture.
African-American.
No, I liked the music and the culture at the time, and I was way into it. Huh? And I wanted to be a part of it.
But I didn't... I hate when people say, like, oh, you grew up in the fucking middle of nowhere. The people that say that have never been outside the boundaries of the coast. They're like, oh, you're in a flyover state. Like, you have no fucking clue what goes on.
You know what?
Our football teams have black people on them, and God damn it, they're just as fast as the black people on your fucking football team. I'm saying that as a joke, listeners, because people say you grew up in Iowa, you have no recollections.
We have the same
industry and opportunity as every other place for African Americans.
Here's my
if not more so, because the affordability to live.
My biggest thing is, I grew up around an area that had a ton of black people.
All right.
But truth be told, Buffalo is probably I bet it's in the top three most segregated cities. That's
because
the big difference.
It's got its neighborhoods.
It's just a big difference. Like, as soon as a black couple or a family moves in, people start to move out. It's a very old racist area. It is. My grandfather's very racist. My dad, he had 50% of his racism. So then I have 10% of his racism. You know what I mean? Like, it's going very slowly, but that's the way it's going. And, like, now when I go home and I look at... Okay. I grew up on, like, Broadway, Goo Goo Dolls song.
I thought you... What about Dick Road?
Broadway and Transit. And it was just the normal white trash fucking shit-kicker town. Last time I went back, I see a lot of fucking black guys. I'm like, okay. And the fucking town is, like, destroyed. And I'm like, I don't blame them. I'm like... It just stinks that this is going on. But now they're trying to build stuff and they're trying to make things happen.
Yeah.
I don't blame black people. I don't do any of that kind of stuff. My main thought is that I grew up in a very segregated area and I want to be a part of their area. I love rap music. I love doing graffiti. I like fucking wearing baggy shit. I was way, 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 way into black culture for no reason. No one told me to be. I didn't hang out with anybody that was.
But
I just wanted to be into it. I really liked the idea of it. I like jazz. I like fucking, you know what I mean? The Harlem Renaissance in the 1920s.
But think of it this way. How about you come up and you're fucking blindfolded and you get dealt a fucking shit hand like African Americans did. Like, yeah, of course you're not gonna get the jobs everybody wants. You're not gonna get the jobs you're qualified for. Even if you go to school, I'm talking about civil rights movement. I'm talking pre MLK.
Okay, all right.
And MLK through that, like, even through now, because it's still racism is obviously still existing for sad, sad reasons. I'm saying if you're getting dealt a bad hand every fucking decade,
what's the bad hand?
The bad hand is not getting the jobs that you're like. Say it's factory work. Say it's manufacturing.
That's why there's EOE. Equal opportunity employment.
If you think equal opportunity employment is a fucking valid thing throughout the greater United States, you're greatly mistaken.
I do. I agree.
You're greatly mistaken.
I think it's
if you're not in the. No, I'm saying they're not getting the jobs they deserve. This goes way back.
I think the white people aren't getting the jobs they deserve.
No. And this goes into a whole different immigrant stage.
Let me finish my point.
You're tethering on an immigrant status, which is very valid. It's not an African American thing. It's an immigrant thing. But if you're pigeonholed into something since the end of World War II,
okay,
on to current, which is fucking. Almost 80 years. Like, think of that. All right.
Well,
it's bad that you can't get a job or you're segregated or you're discriminated upon because of your race or your creed or anything.
Okay,
I'm saying if you can't keep a job, say you show up late for work, say you're a white Polish guy, good looking guy, you're a fucking good looking fucking guy, and you show up late 5 times. Say XYZ guy shows up late, he's African American, he shows up late 2 times. And they've got to cut down things. Like, well, you know what? Maybe somebody cut something. I'm just saying, like, my dad managed
this for years. That changed after the DOE kind of shit.
It didn't. I think you're hugely mistaken.
I think
you may be in the dark on this.
You bring your point, I'll bring mine.
I'm saying that that's not the case. EOE is a government mandated thing, like a lot of things are, like the secret government that also said Roswell didn't exist. Makes it look good on paper. So if they say, hey, well, you're racist. No, we have equal opportunity employment.
I interviewed...
All right, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. You, what I'm saying, in the greater Midwest, in the South, maybe you go down to fucking Tuscaloosa, and you want to get a job, yada, yada, yada. Doesn't matter. I'm saying you had to earn your keep a lot harder to get through that. So the Civil Rights Movement was a huge deal, but I'm saying there's a lot of backlash and backblow for that that has held back a lot of things. So it was like, yeah, they buy low-income housing or whatever. That's all they can afford, and they come in and they just take over the African Americans. But you know what? It's not like their cards were a full house. It was a tough road to hoe for them.
Agreed.
As opposed to every other race, credo, or religion in the greater United States. So it's like, now they've got this stigma, and it's just like, okay, they're behind the eight ball for so long. If you look at 60 or 50 years in the spectrum, that's a small, small fraction overall. But I'm still saying that's where we are. You're still going to feel, those are the parents of the kids that are out there today trying to get a career.
Yeah.
Or the grandparents of the kids who are trying to go to college or whatever. The grandkids that are trying to go to college right now are like, I don't understand because it seems all great. All my friends and I get along. They don't understand. Our parents or even people our age had a tougher road to hoe because they're still feeling backlash in neighborhoods and areas. It's like there's still racism. Racism isn't dead. I don't care if we have a black president. We make jokes about it, but it still exists. But I'm saying they have a tougher road to hoe, saying they're going to have to climb the fucking mountain a little bit higher than the rest of us did to get to where they want to. I'm saying, yeah, get to where you're going to go. Keep the job. Do your due diligence. Do your work responsibilities. But I'm saying, who are they going to cut earlier? I'm saying racism still exists, and I think
racism definitely still exists. My question
is, but you understand what I'm saying a little bit, though,
80%
right?
Of the country, if 80% of the country is white, and, well, now it's changed, and like, you know, 10%.
It's definitely not
80%. You know, like 11%
is... We got a thing in 2014, We're 2014.
11% is Hispanic, 10% is black.
I'd say 30% is black.
It's not...
Are you sure, man?
It'll be 30% Latino and like 10% black. I'm telling you, Latinos are taking over. That's the whole thing. They're the new minority. It's not black anymore.
All right. I understand.
All right, so let's say that
the
country is 60% white, 30% Latino, and then 10% black. Let's just say that's the thing.
Okay.
Then that should be your workforce.
What do you mean?
Then at any job, there should be 60% white, 30% Latino.
That's bullshit.
Why not?
Because
the EOE fucking hires, dude, is what I'm saying. They only get a hire because of that. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of fucking white people out of work. Listen.
If you apply for a job and you're qualified and you hand over fist, get your job done better than that guy, I'll hire you over anybody.
No, it's not the way the rest of the country works, dude. If you're working on a fucking farm or you're doing something like manual labor, maybe. But I'm saying the rest of the country, you have to, like the NFL, like the biggest money-making sports entity.
I get what you're saying.
You have to interview at least one minority candidate. It's called the Rooney Rule.
No. I get what you're saying. I'm saying what is right. You're telling me what's reality, and I'm saying this is what's right. Everybody's hiring one black guy, one Hispanic guy, one Asian guy, one white guy.
Okay, here. Let me put it in perspective. All right. I went to a Jesuit university, Canisius College. That was way out of my realm to pay for it, and I'm still paying $100,000 for this fucking college. All right. My friend Quadir, same kind of family, same income as my family. Now, a single-parent black family, but his mom made really good money. Okay? So she made as much as my parents made. He went to a Jesuit university, Xavier, in New Orleans. He has zero debt.
Don't let me start on this.
He has zero debt to pay. I have $100,000 to pay. Now,
I have similar examples.
If I'm him, would I bitch and say, no, I want to pay? Fuck no. If I'm a black guy in America and they're going to give me education for free, fuck yes, I'm going to take it. But why is it that the lower middle class white people
have to pay for everything
and don't have the exact same thing? Now, look, that's not a racist thing. That's a fucking economic thing. It's your level in society.
I agree. I know what you're saying.
It should be your level in society, not your fucking skin color.
All right.
So what I'm saying is,
if
your entire family makes under, but no, I'm not.
Yeah, because, you're talking job. No, we're talking education payments.
I'm telling you like this.
I don't give a shit what your credo
is. If your family is under a certain amount of money and you're in a certain class, you should pay this. Fuck your skin color. You should pay this. If your family is up here and it makes this amount of money, you should pay that. That's what should be in American education. And hopefully it appears to be what Obama's big thing is, and he has made big strides for it.
So no, he hasn't, bud. In the press, he has. All right. I
paid fucking $700. Now I pay $200. He obviously did something good.
But you got to realize how far back that fucking movement went. You were talking about the fucking repayment plan when Bush was in office. I'm not saying I'm conservative or liberal or anything, but this goes way back. This is something that was on the docket for years and years and years that never got attention.
Agreed.
But for the fucking popularity purpose, it got paid attention to.
Right.
And now it's his thing. And people fail to realize that. It wasn't his brainchild. Oh, yeah, like your earnings, how you can repay it however much. Okay. That's not his idea.
Let me give you another concept that, just so everybody knows, I'm not a humongous racist, and I don't have any. If I were a black African-American guy, and I got a chance to go to school.
If you're black and African-American, jeez.
If I got a chance to go to school for free.
Well, for free?
Why wouldn't I take it? Why wouldn't I have a smaller amount to pay than somebody else? That's not my fault that I'm offered that opportunity, right? I mean,
I'm saying I went to school with people that grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. Father was from Guam. Mother was from Colombia. He went to school for free.
Yeah.
They've been in the country 50 plus years. But it was the multicultural scholarship got him for free. I'm paying $75,000+ and he paid zero. But he grew up in a wealthy neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on a farm in rural Iowa.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That's completely fucked up. Every fucking month it eats me up. But he's a very good friend of mine, and I see numerous occasions.
Again, if you were the same case, I would say, fuck it, man. Take it. Good for you. But why isn't it kind of split a little bit? Just because not gender, but it's based on gender, race, and fucking...
Not gender. Gender's not a thing at all.
It can be. Because
why would gender be a thing at
because
all?
Because when I went to financial aid with Jackie, all right, she's not living at home. She's working herself to fucking death. And she's trying to get financial aid. And they said, do you have a kid? And she says, no. She goes, are you married? They said, no. They go, well, then we can't help you. And so she says, so if I made bad decisions instead of getting my schooling,
had a kid,
I would have financial aid. And they go, yes. That's the thought of the American education system.
So
if you make bad decisions or you grew up in a bad neighborhood,
so gender should be looked at, though. I'm saying what you're getting at is that gender shouldn't be an issue.
Nothing should be an issue.
Exactly.
Your intelligence should be an issue.
Your work ethic, everything you do on paper, everything you do regardless, should be.
No matter, look, at that's what I'm saying. It's like,
who's this gonna reach? I hope this reaches the far.
My buddy Cradier, who had the same GPA, had the same shit. Yo, good for him. He doesn't owe that money. I'm really happy he doesn't. But why do I owe that money?
Yeah, no.
You know, let me just give you one quick metaphor for that. Why does the police department pull me over walking on a fucking down the street because I jaywalked? Because I'm a nerdy white guy who will pay the ticket. The fucking black guy's going to fight it. The Mexican, he's probably not even a fucking legal. They're like, oh, okay, fine, and they'll throw it in the fucking garbage can.
Yeah.
I've seen it done.
Yeah,
myself.
Yeah, I agree. I know this situation.
I'm the nerdy. We were that nerdy, weird white population.
We'll pay their bills. It sucks.
We're gonna pay, and that's why they fucking pull you over. Yeah. That's why they don't pull a black guy over smoking a fucking blunt. That's why they pull a Mexican over who doesn't have insurance, who's gonna hit you and then fucking take off.
But I'm not generalizing every black guy though.
Yes, it's not.
There's several black guys.
Obviously,
several Hispanic people, Asian people. Like Asian women are the worst drivers ever, and that you can put that on record. That the Asian women are the worst drivers. Okay. But I get what you're saying in an overall stance.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. Is like they're gonna say, yeah, it's funny enough. It's come back full circle to us. There's like, I'm pulling you over because you're white,
and you're going to pay my quota. Yeah. And now guess what?
No, I get it. Living in Los Angeles, I get it. If I live in the Midwest, maybe I wouldn't.
I might make as much as, or the guy next door who's, like, let's say, an African-American gentleman or a Middle Easterner.
No, I get you.
Maybe he makes more than me. They're not going to pull him over because it's going to be a fight. It's going to be an argument.
Listeners, you may think this is super cynical, but I'm coming to the fruition where it's actually very true. This last point. It is very true.
It is.
And well, I've got no points to go off of. I gotta rock this.
So, all right, my whole thought is,
I'll
idea of, look, I'm obviously an entitled guy because I'm white. That's always been the case, basically for like the history of modern civilization. Is that if you're white, you're entitled, unless you're Jewish, then you get fucked. But. And people just they look down on people's skin. I don't give a fuck what someone's skin color is. I don't care whatever they do. I'm saying is like, why am I targeted because I'm a member of society? I'm somebody who would pay bills. I'm somebody who would, fuck it. We can always say this. There's enough white people who don't pay bills. There's enough this. But then why am I getting targeted jaywalking? You know, I got fucking two big silos of beer in my bag. You could write me up for public intoxication. You won't. What you write me up for is jaywalking because I'm going to pay the $250 ticket. This is very old school, but in my mind is, I just don't understand how if we want everybody to be equal, and this is this totally cyclical back to the Sterling thing, and the Clippers
in general everywhere.
As a white guy who's paying black guys to play for him and stuff. You can't have that attitude, and that's what I'm curious about. It's like everything should be equal. Fuck EOE, fuck
this
kind of shit. Fuck all that. Like you shouldn't just get a scholarship because you're Native American. Maybe if you live in the confines of America, the Native American might be the one I actually prep to. But like if Shauna is Thai, and she just gets a scholarship, and she has a shittier GPA than someone who's just a white person, that's fucked. You know, it's like that's creating a very different society that we don't want to live in. It's just one that, we're just going to value the minorities because we have to. That's what it's saying.
Yeah, feeling obligated out of a civilized manner.
No.
You were all Americans. We all live in the same confines of the United States of America. And we are all equal. Everything should be blind as far as color and creed and everything.
Now,
make it due diligence on your ability. Everything you do in the society, like
there's always that case of there was slavery. I agree, man. And I listen. And I know black people are held down. You know, you live in the black people, they live in projects, and like it's hard to get out of that situation that it just keeps going, going, going. We're like, in your mind, I'm a privileged person because my parents stayed together. I lived in an apartment my whole life. But I was an only child. I got spoiled. I had grandparents and people. Everybody was around. I never had any divorce in my life. That's not, it's not a cultural thing. That's just what happened. And I'm not blaming an African-American or an Asian-American or a Mexican-American or Hispanic that they had that happen to them. I'm just saying is like, how is it that you look at two exact people, probably with the exact same minds, okay, exact same GPAs, exact same background, their financial situation is the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm paying $100,000 in a loan, and they're paying zero.
Zero.
It's just a very odd thing.
It's not odd. It's very disgruntling. It's odd.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought, but at the same time, if they were paying the $100,000, I'd still say to them, like, that's fucked up, man. You shouldn't be paying that. You know, like, so if, for let's say for some reason you were, you had some El Salvadorian, you got, like, a fucking really, or like, straight out of Ireland fucking scholarship, and you're paying zero for your, I'm not, good for you. Good for you that you got that. Maybe it's wrong for me to be, like, pure white American and, like, this kind of shit because I didn't get those same scholarships. I did get scholarships.
No, but you didn't get the multicultural diversity scholarship.
True.
Which is everything.
And I want to make my final point about this. I'm not trying to be a racist about this.
No.
I'm just saying is it's very
You're not being a racist about this at all. We're making points that people need to see because we have a lot of relatives and friends that are going through the college ranks right now that are probably going to have to deal with this still, and they shouldn't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
Because when they get out in 4 years...
For anybody.
Exactly. Anybody.
Fuck race, fuck gender, religion.
I'm talking friends, cousins, anybody. When they get out in 4 years or 2 years or whatever, they're going to trade school...
6 years.
Whatever. They're going to have to deal with the brunt force of college tuition, and I think that... You got a really good fucking point that the fact of the matter is, and I have said that for years, we've talked about our bullshit college tuition and how it's like, why is this fair? What makes this right? Even the scale, get rid of the multicultural diversity scholarship, make it
just
worldwide. Anybody who wants to come to this college for this reason, for this fucking school of study, everybody's in the same pool.
My biggest thought is always like, it's like buying a car that's a lemon. If I go to school and I'm going to be a teacher and I don't become a teacher, you should refund me some money. Why?
What do you mean?
I'm saying I get my degree, you get your degree in acting, and you don't become an actor. Buena Vista University says, hey, we certify Scott Murphy
to do this
in a Bachelor of Arts to be an actor. Now. You don't become a paid actor, you should get some cash back. Because I don't know if they did their job. Or you're not doing your job, but they should help you get that fucking job, is all I'm saying. I went to Canisius College, where leaders are made. That's their fucking slogan. Where leaders are made.
Ours was education for service.
And so, where leaders are made, I don't have a job in education. I never have, never
will.
But
you didn't like it, though.
Hey...
What's
don't
to say
don't you
don't
think
like
for
it.
The fucking $100,000 I spent, there couldn't have been a counselor to say like, "What do you want to do? Is this what you want to do?"
But they never ever said that. What do you want to do? And you were like, "Yeah, I want to be a teacher."
I mean, that's just I was going for my English degree, and then I'm like, "What the fuck am I going to do with that?"
Otherwise, how can we be holding adults accountable for anything then?
Agreed.
College is a choice.
Hey, dude. I'm totally with you on this. I'm just saying.
I don't think that's fair for universities because they offer so many other facets.
Then they
for
shouldn't
students.
Charge you that much money.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, if a person, okay, let's say this. If you go to Mexicali and they don't have seats, this kind of example.
Or shit service.
Yeah. If I am working in a bowling center, which I am, and I'm manager of the bowling center.
Yeah.
And someone else in Ohio is a manager of bowling center. They never went to school. They, you know, maybe they got their associate's degree, they got a business degree, they know how to run QuickBooks. Probably way better than I do. They're probably actually better set up than I am.
Maybe not, though, because they don't know the industry as
well. Maybe not. and maybe they don't have the education I do to, like,
But they don't deal with the amount of people you do either.
Okay. At the same time, it's like, well, why? I didn't need to get that degree. Now, there's
but no... But that was no, your choice. Let's it, hang on.
It was my parents' choice at the time, to be honest with you.
I'm saying, like, management. You went into management as opposed to... But the thing is, you went into management as a career, but all the while, you still got a back burner as a screener, a master screenwriter. You can write a screenplay. You can write novels, screenwriting,
screenplays. Yeah, but I could do that without a degree.
I could do it without my degree.
Quinn doesn't have a degree in screenwriting. You don't have a degree in screenwriting.
I have a degree in acting, but I don't need it.
The fuck no, you don't.
I don't need it for what I'm doing.
You now thinking back about it.
Quinn doesn't either. Anybody?
Would you not have gotten a degree like or an MBA or something like that? Like just a
no. I would have gone for the school.
You could have taken it like you did, but had like a background in something else just in case.
I thought in all the infinite wisdom of a college student, I thought media studies would be a great second major, and I did that, and that's basically communications, and so that gets me. My job now that I have, having an actual degree that, you know, that I have, you know, 2 degrees or whatever, that's fine.
So, okay, I'm going to cap off this fucking race debate. And the last thing I want to say is I don't have a problem with anybody doing whatever they can to get what they can. I know that African-Americans have had a really hard time in this country. They have.
Whole thing.
It's bad. You know, the worst case scenario is like Native Americans. They've had like the worst fucking go of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Asian Americans always kind of seem to be okay. Now the Hispanics
is a different kind of thing. It's a very different kind of thing.
I mean, what is your take on borders, things like that? Seriously, I want to hear it. I'm a rock piss. I kind of want to hear what's up with that.
I think if you want to be a citizen in this country and you want to work, and you have a job, have a family in this country, do whatever, have a life in this country. I think you need to go. I think you need to go through the proper paperwork. I think you need to go through the proper application for a green card or do whatever you got to do. But I know for a fact that the United States government makes that very hard for people to do. Immigrants trying to come into the country, I know they make that very hard. Applying for a green card, applying for a work visa, I know there's a lot of loopholes, I know there's a lot of waiting, and I know that a lot of families, you know, are dependent on people coming into the United States getting jobs. So my take on it is, it's like a hopeful thing, just like any other thing. It's another hopeful wish and dream that the government would be a little bit more efficient in the fact that they could make the application process a little bit more easier, just a little bit quicker. So where, hey, you want to apply for a work visa or you want to apply for a green card, you want to come to the country and work, you've applied for a job already, maybe you've got an interview, and you know you can get that within the matter of a month as opposed to several months, because... You know, there should be no circumstance where you should, you know, try to... You have to marry just to get citizenship to stay in the United States of America. For crying out loud, it's the land of the free, home of the brave, for Christ's sakes. I'm saying, I wish it was a little bit quicker, because... But then again, you know, Brandon, what do you... There are a lot of things I could chit-chat about.
My issue is
the ability to carry out a job is completely different than the availability of a job.
Oh, agreed, 100%.
Because in Storm Lake, Iowa, we had factory upon factory,
and the white guy.
This is bad, but I'm going to go back to it. But you had mentioned the white guy getting discriminated upon because he can pay a minority less wage or whatever. I think that was true, and that should never happen.
It should.
If a person can do the job to the best of their abilities and carry out the conduct, they're qualified for it, they should be hired for the job. No worry about their fucking color, their creed, religion, whatever the hell it is. You do the job, you can get it done, you're going to show up on time and make sure everything works and be happy about it, earn your paycheck, fine, yeah. But I think the citizenship thing should be a little bit easier too. And it's a convoluted thing. It's a very convoluted thing. Do you know minute one about applying for citizenship in the country? Nobody does because the government is just like
This is where I think that we're...
Everybody wants to come to America. Nobody can.
I think
people
this
do.
Is where we're...
Everybody does.
This is where myself, you, Uncle Luke, we're ignorant. Is the idea like when I talk to people like Shauna, Gumball Head! When I talk to these people and they're like, oh, my friend's getting like a green card or like citizenship. I'm like, really? Like Sarah and Carla, Shauna's friends, had to get like citizenship. I'm like,
why?
I'm like, because they were born in the Philippines. And they came over here. And I'm like, but I've talked to these people. Like, they're very like cognizant.
They're everyday people.
They're workers. They're spenders. They're doing all this.
Everyday people.
But they got it. And in my mind, I'm like,
that's a different
I'm so fucking glad.
That's a different kind of individual, though.
That I don't have to have that issue. But okay, so that happens. But again, now I sent Scott and a couple friends this article about Cio Puig from the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a Cuban, and people are accusing him of a lot of stuff, so it's all hearsay, but he...
Which is an incredible story. It's a crazy story.
When you're a Cuban or whoever you are... No, just Cubans. If you come over on a raft, you come over on a boat, and you come into the country, they'll kick you out. That's called like a wet foot entry. If you come over on a bridge, you come over across the border, unlike Mexicans can, but Cubans can, you come over.
Cubans can do it through Mexico, yeah.
And you're on land, they call it a land foot entry, you're automatically given citizenship. What a fucking nuts thing that is.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're telling me, like, you can land your craft, if, let's, in all honesty, in a part of Mexico, and then walk up through Mexico to the United States.
30 feet!
And you're totally fine.
And you're fine.
But if you come over through water, you can't.
You land in Miami.
That sounds so, fucked. I mean, like, this sounds like something that happened, like, the
1700s. Yeah.
This is today. This is 2014. I mean, well, 2012, when Yasiel Puig did it. And he did it. I mean, this guy signed a contract for $56 million, and he had to walk across the bridge, get taken in by customs, and all that shit to become a U.S. citizen.
Well, you got to go way back before. We're not going to get in the story of how he got here.
It's a lot.
He went through the fucking Bay of Pigs. He walked through the Bay of Pigs through 6 feet of water, like,
yeah.
I mean, with his nose above the water, just to avoid the Coast Guard. In Cuba.
If you guys want to see it, you can go on like Grantland. You can go on like, I think it was Los Angeles Magazine.com and just look up.
But
yeah, Cio Puig.
You should, with every country, you should have, there's a due process, and I think that's the way.
How
it should
would you
be.
Not want
Universal.
To live in our country?
Exactly.
And so
this place
I
is amazing.
Besides like maybe Canada or like Western Europe, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking at like England, France.
Look at Spain, France. Yeah.
All those countries. But like,
amazing countries.
The shit that's going on with like the Ukraine shit now, it's like, just get the fuck out of there, man. Like, it's incredible.
They're dealing with a really different type of shithead right now. Which everybody else is a benefit of not having to deal with somebody like that. But I'm saying, yeah, citizenship in general needs to be more of a due diligence process. Be like, hey, you're applying, you want to be a citizen? Fine. You want to live in the United States? Fine. All right, this is what you got to do. Here are the steps. And I think that exists, but I think it's more convoluted than you and I think.
Yeah.
And
maybe
other people need, maybe people outside the country need to do their due diligence and research it more too. I don't know. I mean, I've never had that situation, so I'm not in those shoes, man. I don't know. I'm not trying to be a resident of Canada or France. Or the, you know, the UK.
Well, at the time, I was. So
you were trying to be a resident of Canada?
Yeah.
Toronto?
Yeah. Okay. In 2002, I had my degree, and I said, I want to go for screenwriting. This is what I want to do. I was starting to write, like, scripts and stuff. Mm-hmm. I had no concept of structure and everything, but I was writing scripts. And
yeah,
just because
you're gonna go to Canada, that's fucking rad.
I was like self teaching myself. So I looked at University of Toronto, which is Toronto. Guys, if you've never heard, is always my favorite city I've ever been to. Toronto, I love. And then
close,
Northridge. And I said,
out of everything, it was Toronto and Northridge
and Full Sail in Florida. And
no, I said, hang on. Brandon was sitting in the Jingleski home, and he's like, I got Toronto, it's fucking 10, 15 miles that way, maybe.
No, it's like 2 hours away.
Toronto?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
Whatever. It's a ride.
So you got Toronto a couple hours away, or I got Northridge that's 3,000 plus here. That's what you were coming down
to. Okay, let me ask you like this. Where is the film industry the biggest? Now,
USC!
When you're a 21...
I played USC and UCLA.
When you're a 22-year-old kid, you obviously want to come out to LA because that's where the film industry is. I mean, Toronto seemed awesome, but at the same time, I'm like...
Because it's the metropolis, it's close, it's huge, it's booming.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I was just sort of like, well, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to go fucking
I get
all the
it.
Way.
No, I've never been, but I think it'd be pretty rad. I think it has everything you need right there.
There's a big part of the wish I chose it, but same time, with the person I was with at the time, it would have been a bad decision because they could have just went home all the time.
You just never know, man. You never know what your walk of life would be. Don't ever shortchange anything.
Let's say right now, she says, hey, man, I'm trying to like get a job in Toronto, and I got a really good job.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. I fucking love Toronto.
I think I should be more, my grassroots, great band, by the way, more of my grassroots would be like, where should I go just to be? Like, where would you like to go just to, like, thrive?
Right.
Live. Be out in the open, you know, just like, say, hey, man, I want to live here. I want to test this out.
See, me, I'm
not just for career, but just for personal beliefs. Did you ever get that?
Yeah, absolutely. And my personal beliefs, it's the reason I don't live in Florida, even though I should, because I'm an only child, and... My parents live in Florida.
Yeah.
And I could live there. Hey, there's no fucking winters like I always bitch about.
Right.
But Florida's fucking boring, dude. It's very boring.
I think it's just the people. I think that you need your friends. You need your friends.
Yeah.
You had a solid group of friends.
I had no friends when I moved out here, and I still stayed out here for like 3 years before I really had good friends.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, I didn't meet you till like fucking 4 years ago, and I'm talking, this is going to be my 10th anniversary of being out here. So I didn't know you for 6 years, and I still stayed out here. On my own a lot of times. I had a lot of depressed fucking moments.
Yeah.
But guess what? If I were in Toronto, those depressed moments, I could have drove back home and hung out with old school homies. And got tied back into the whole fucking same rut I was in.
But I'm saying...
To move out here was like to get me out of that fucking rut.
The thing is, what if those guys are good for you?
They're not, because they're all fucking gone now, dog. They're not. There ain't a motherfucker back. It's Timmy, and that's it. It's T-List and Most Fish. That's... about it that I can like go see when I go
but
home.
Isn't that one friend like T-Lish, isn't he like worth it? Like I'm not saying like you gotta pack up, move out.
He's worth it.
He's a guy that's like worth it to say like, hey, you're my guy. Like we get along so well. Like I'm kind of making a life. I understand what you did because you and I are on the same wavelength. The fact that we dream, we aspire to do things, we want to do things, we want to get out of the norm and just be and. You can't do that back there. I did the same thing. I'm not calling the kettle black, Donald Sterling, racist bastard. I'm saying I did the same thing because I could have went to college. I did. I went 3 hours away, and I could have went back to Clarinda or wherever or Brightville, bought a piece of land, had friends that I knew, and a lot of my friends moved away. I could have gone out and ventured.
Let's say you moved out here, and your parents moved to Texas.
Then I would have been like, "What the fuck?"
Well, that's what happened to me.
Exactly. But I have siblings. You don't. Everybody. I have a huge, 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 huge family.
You do.
That is in the greater Midwest.
Well, just you see what I'm saying.
And like, Texas, oddly enough,
my parents were so happy for me to make a decision to do what I wanted to do, and they were very supportive. But then they left. So now that leaves me in a weird state where, like, do I go see them or do I go to Buffalo, the 23 years of my life that I grew up in?
Yeah.
You know? And that's why I don't a lot of times. You know, I'd rather go see them because they're my parents. Or I'd rather them come out here. And my dad always says it's more expensive to come out here. I assume it is. You know, if I go stay with them, it's very cheap. You guys should take a vacation to Florida to go see my fucking parents, man.
I know. I'd love to go see Bob Judy.
You can have a fucking... Number one, you can golf every day, or you could sit at their house. They got fucking bikes. You just bike around their place. You can go in the pool. You play shuffleboard.
Here's the thing. It's awesome. I think if I was there, if I visited, like Chelsea and I visited, my wife! And I visited Bob and Judy in Florida. I think we'd have a fantastic time.
Oh, yeah.
I use fantastic way too much.
And you have a lot of food and stuff like that.
Oh, I would not get bored. I would not get bored.
Yeah, you haven't been there.
True, that's very true.
It's very boring.
But the thing is, I'm very small worlded.
I don't know if you're listening to this before or after our next podcast, or if you're ever going to fucking hear this, to be dead honest with you.
Well, the last fucking liquor license got lost.
And so the entire time Luke's been in Florida, he's telling us, look at all these hot chicks, this and that, and then like what a miserable time it is.
He just hates life.
It's like, what do you quit? I mean, he doesn't like his family members. I love my family members.
I do too.
Like when they get into watching like the America's Got Talent stuff, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna take a walk. I do the Rob Bass.
I do the same thing. All right, I do the same thing. I'm out. I go talk and to my grandma, or I do other things.
I see, you have other people. Me, I just take a walk around the block. I'll walk to the liquor store, see a fucking alligator, buy some fucking like a pinch. I'll buy a fucking skull pouches, or I'll buy like a fucking beer and drink it on the way back. That's what I'm doing. And the last time with Shauna being there, and the time two times before my buddy Logan was there, we were able to go out. We went out. We went to go do something. We went to go play pool. We went to go do. And I'm like,
and see, that's fun though.
I'm like, okay,
it's more simple. It's slower, right?
And now, so like around the corner from their trailer park was like houses, and I'm like, oh, I grabbed like the sheet for it. $138,000 four bedroom house with a pool. $138,000. Four bedroom house with pool.
Out now, here, that's $500,000 plus.
Now, that would equate to
$500,000 plus.
Basically $600 a month in rent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But your mortgage, if you were to buy it.
Yeah, your mortgage. And at the same time, but it's so fucking boring. Like, I don't think I could ever have a friend group back there. Even when I go back to Buffalo.
You don't have a friend group back
there. There's something about me where, like, everyone from L.A. says the Valley's dead.
I don't think so, man.
Well, the Valley is a million times more popping than Buffalo. It's just, there's an energy in the air. I can walk around the streets and there's always people. There's always shit going on.
Who says the Valley is dead? People
from L.A.
People from L.A. that live on the other side that have that stigma from their folks. Have the stigma from their folks. I've heard that before, and I've also heard that that's a stigma just embellished because of L.A. people. It's this area that we live in used to be the most sought-after piece of area in the country.
Agreed.
So, I mean, like 30 years ago, granted, that's a long fucking time ago, I wasn't even born. But regardless of the matter is, I think that's all just word of mouth because it's fine. There are plenty of places that we've found that are amazing. I don't know. It's okay, alright?
Well, okay. What else would you like? Anything else you want to talk about before I...
No, I think it's funny that we started the Cosmos and then we came back to the racist, then we came back to the, parents.
I think this is why this is probably my favorite liquor license idea, is that we got wasted. We didn't need to talk about booze. I realize that's kind of stupid because nobody gives a fuck. I mean, everybody gets drunk or
I don't know who's listening to this, bud.
I'm saying in general of me having a fun time on the show, for us to talk about beer for half an hour, it's kind of fucking boring. But for us to...
Not really.
For us to be wasted and talk about, like, ideas like this... Hey, we might listen back. We might sound like complete fucking penises. That's a very... 60-70% possibility.
Who do you think out of the LGR listeners are going to listen to this?
I don't see that thing.
RJ?
I don't know.
Rob Joyce?
I know. I don't know. Tom? Because we get a certain amount of... I'm not even going to get into it again, but... Someone might.
But those guys... Those guys are the diehards.
There's nobody... there's nobody who's an LGR listener. They'll just listen to this.
No, you know, yeah, no. Yeah. They're going to do
we,
both.
We don't have like a unique liquor license thing. But see, our dynamic, maybe this is better for some people, but mine and your dynamic is different than mine and Luke's dynamic.
You guys are way more amped up.
Yeah.
A lot more.
It's, okay, here you go. All right, I'm going to finish on this, and then you can talk. He texts me, he's like, oh, dude, Bogue's going to be on the show. So, okay, guys, you might have heard this Look Good Radio before I'm saying this, or you're hearing it before Look Good Radio, which is even better, but he's like, oh, well, I just came back from Florida, like, great time to have dude Bogue's on. And I'm like, in my head, the whole time I'm looking at this text, I'm like, so just don't, what happened that was so great in Florida that you need to spend 20, 25 minutes on? Like, next time when I go to Buffalo, like, I'll come back and be like, yeah, I went to Buffalo. Like, I'm not going to, I'd rather, as a podcast, talk about, like, just a bullshit than, like, do, like, a, well, hey, so on Saturday I did this, and on Sunday I did that, and then the other day I did this.
Unless it's worthwhile.
Well, it's not going to be. You got all the texts from him saying how boring it was and how terrible it was.
I don't know, but
if you want to talk about like some cutie babies one time, okay, we can knock it out in 10 minutes.
He's right. Gonna talk about. I'm telling you what, I look at all of his Instagram posts: the jet skis, the shooting guns, yeah, the beach babies.
How long can that take?
You never know. I don't know, but I'm saying he might have something else to interject in. I've been drinking a while. What I'm saying, he might have something to add on to. It could be nothing. It could be amazing.
I'm saying it's like saying I think
that this vacation is good. He needed this. Look at how fucking pent up this guy was. Last week he was so fucking pissed off about LA and about everything. Hated everybody.
2 weeks ago.
All right, 2 weeks ago. Hated everything. Hated everybody. This vacation was a good chance for him to get out of this city.
Maybe not because he saw all these hot chicks. Maybe he wants to move to Florida now.
No, maybe he's miserable. Whatever. Different emotions are going to rush through your head when you're doing this. But maybe he got to sleep in. He didn't have to fucking work on things. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to think about things. He could just relax and say, hey, I'm here, and I guess we're going to go do this. He could just turn off for a little bit, you know? Like, just fucking relax. Like a fucking Joe Schmo. When he comes back, he could be all amped up and be like, all right, I got a new fucking breath of life for this. Because, you know what? That was great. It was a good vacation. Yeah, I had some shitty fucking moments, and these people suck. But whatever. You know. I'm saying you can go to Buffalo. You can go to Florida. You can go to Iowa. When you come back, you, Brandon Jingleski, can have a fucking fresh breath of air.
Yeah.
I'm saying you have a brand new outlook, and you can talk about things for an hour.
Yes and no.
That's the way Luke is. Like, you can talk about whatever I'm saying, both of you guys.
Is that interesting to anybody?
Fuck yeah, it is, because there are a lot of people that listen to this in fucking New York, Florida, or wherever they are, that want to know about his stories, that follow him on Facebook. You need to get, by the way, you need to get on Facebook. Anyway.
It's a dead media, son.
All right. And get on.
It is, though.
No. But, you know, interject with people on that facet of media.
Okay, I get you. I'm
everybody, saying, Facebook. This is all right. This is April 30th, 2014. Brandon Jingleski said that Facebook is dead.
Dead media.
He said it's a dead media.
Okay.
I'm letting you know.
Wait and see. Another year or two, and it's gonna fucking collapse. I'm just another year. I don't. Okay. Again, we talked about this. I don't want to talk to people from my past. I don't want them to see what I'm doing. I don't want to know what they're doing.
This is your own hang-up, man.
Yeah, that is. So fucking why give me the runaround?
I'm not. I'm saying that's you. It's your choice.
All right.
That's fine.
So like you should.
I don't think less or more of you for it. I don't give a fuck.
Okay. Fuck all that. My whole.
I can give a shit who you knew.
My point was. If you're a LGR listener, if you're a Look Good Radio listener,
except for T-Lish, I really like T-Lish. I like RJ.
we talk about Dude Bogues. I'm going to have Dude Bogues in the show, and I'm not going to ask him anything weird. I just want to have a normal conversation with him. But Luke's coming back from a vacation, so that would take up the entire fucking episode normally. And it's like, well, dude, just scale it down a bit, and then
it's going to be a Luke episode, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm like, if you could scale it down a bit, and then we can just talk to Dude Bogues. a lot of stuff.
You should have had Bogues on the liquor license today.
Well, I should have, but he the only day dude Bogues can do the fucking show is tomorrow.
Okay, he's a busy guy, and more power to him. He's
and so all we do guy. Is talk about him. So like I'm like, dude, I go, dude Bogues, you might just sit there and not say a fucking word. But at least we can say you're on the show. But I'm saying is like Luke's vacation can't be that exciting that he can spend an hour on it. I've done it. He's done it. And I listen back and I'm like, I have like douche chills. Like, that fucking sucks. Like, what are we doing?
Did you say douche chills?
Yes.
That was a good one.
It's terrible. Like, it's just well, awful. Yeah,
scale,
like,
scale it down then. Scale it down.
It just, but I can't tell him to scale it down. I'm saying for myself, again, this is me being, this is me being like, I'm pissed off Brandon at Luke. I'm not. But in the long run, it's like,
but his stories
could be funny. Who fucking cares? Who cares what happened on his vacation?
Easy hiccups.
Who cares?
I do. You do. Yeah.
For how long? For how long will you care?
I'll give him 5 minutes.
Okay. Now, a new listener. How long will a new listener actually really fucking care?
About 90 seconds.
Yeah.
A new listener, if they exist on LGR and liquor license, probably that's 90 right, that's seconds.
I'm trying to get
90
to,
seconds is the culminating
I'm
point.
I'm trying to get to a point where, like...
They're going
to
try this podcast and be like, oh, in 90 seconds, this fucking stinks.
That's I'm trying to get to that point where, like, we don't have that. And, I'm like, as much to blame as he is. Because I'll talk about, hey, what did we do this weekend, blah, blah. But notice, he's always that guy like, hey, didn't you go do this weekend? I'm like, yeah, but it's not...
Yeah, but it's funny!
It's funny to you because you know us.
All right,
it's
that's not funny. No, hang on.
A new listener does not know us. They will not be interested in
you that. Guys have a formula that you have no idea about. The liquor license listeners have no clue either because they hate life in general and they're all alcoholics. And they're worried about the cosmos and racism. So we shouldn't even get into that.
All right, fine. But all right, do you have any last closing remarks on the cosmos?
Well... I'm going to save that for episode 26.
Are we at, what number is this?
5?
Right. Six? No, it's 7.
Maybe 7? I have no clue. I don't even think I listened to the last few. I didn't know the last few went up. I'm serious. I didn't know the last one went up.
I'm telling you, I think if you looked at the last one. I don't think one, it's up there. If you looked at the last one, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's the one. Because that's the one we did in the little room over there.
Yeah, I don't think it went up.
Yeah, it's in there. And I'm uberly loud.
I used to get a notification.
It happened. All right. Well, Goody Mob and others, thank you for listening to Liquor License. I hope we expanded your mind and made it bleed, like melt your face, son, like metal,
like a bead in a smoothie.
Little fags.